it's a new year. And when the year begins, everyone has goals and everyone has resolutions. And it's a good thing. Don't get depressed. Sometimes we hear about resolution, we're like, oh God, we're not going to make it. I'm not going to keep this thing. But I want to tell you, make some goals this year. Make some attainable goals. This sister had a goal. She wanted to be in the house of God. Remember? She wanted to be in the house of God. And who helped her? The Lord made a way. So whatever plans you have in your heart, put it before the Lord. And he will bring it to pass. Amen? But this morning, we're going to put first things first. Tell somebody first things. First. Tell them first things. First. First up. Come on, no. You're not following me. Some of you are staring at me. Say first up. My girl. No. Right? Thank you. You all know not to say that. But sometimes that's how we say. You know, we tell a woman, yeah, you're my everything. You know, you're my star, my moon, and everything. And she looks at you. Is that true? Oh, my God. You're so sweet. And then, whatever. Okay? But say, first up, God. First up, God. We're going to do it again. First up. God. We're getting stronger. I think we can do better. First up. God. One more time. First up. God. You know why we did it five times? Five is the number of grace. Somebody give the Lord a praise for his grace. And can I tell you, grace is a person. Grace is a person. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles over to Exodus chapter 20 verse 3, and then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 11 verse 22, and we're going to be talking about first things first. Amen. And it says, if you're ready, Exodus 20 verse 3 says, famous scripture, and it says, you shall have no other gods. Somebody say gods. God. Say gods. God. Do you know that work can be your god? Do you know that money can be your god? You know, some people throw away their family for money. All they're chasing is money. All they're chasing is their career. That becomes a god. Some people, their car is a god. They treat the car better than their family. They wash the car, buff the car, shine the wheel, everything. You can't even, you sit too hard. They're like, why are you sitting so hard on my seat? You know, and you're ready to fight because the car is a god. Some people, you know, money and wealth and riches, they chase it with all their energies. But today the Lord is saying to us, you shall have no other God before me. Turn over to Revelation 11, 22. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning. The what? What is he? The beginning. And the end. The what? First. What is he? And the last, we'll read it again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the first and the last. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray today as we go into your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, you're going to move through this room. I pray, God, our priorities will be right. We'll put you first. We'll keep you first. 2024 will be a year of you being first in our lives. Our priorities will be right, God. We're going to get it right this year. We're going to fix it this year. We're going to keep you first this year, God, because you are our priority. You are the chief. You are number one. And Lord, we just worship you and we give you all the glory. Thank you for speaking to us today in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for everyone that is standing before me this morning. I pray, God, your love will just rush into their hearts. Your peace will just flow into them. The joy of the Lord will be their strength. Before they have left this place today, they would have had an encounter with the living God. In the name of Jesus. And we give you the glory and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah and have your seats. Amen. Jesus is first. He is the chief. The word that was used there in Revelation for first is protos, meaning he is the chief one. He is the first. It speaks of him being your priority. Today in this culture that we live in, it seems so hard to put God first. Can I tell you? It is not easy. The way the system is set up is that you have to work and work and work and work. And not only one job. Some of you sitting in here got three jobs. You're bouncing from job to job to job, and all your energy is taken from you. The time alone to travel breaks your body down. The traveling is so hard. Commute is so hard. You get stuck on a train. You're sitting in multiple buses. Some of us don't have to, and praise God. But there's others that sit in this room that know what it is to bounce from five trains. One lady told me on Friday, Pastor, it was like four trains to get to church. Yes. Wave your hand, Sister Sharon. Let him see you. She took like four different trains to get here to church. All these things are set up to just rob us. To steal our joy and steal our strength and break your spirit. But I want to tell you today that God is here to fill you with grace and fill you with the power and fill you with the ability to go on. He will be your strength. He said when you are weak, he becomes strong. So today, we want to put God first. He said to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt from the house of bondage, he delivered them and he gave them the commandment. And the commandment says, you shall have no other God before me. Nothing should come before me. Today I want to talk to you about the principle of the first. Say the principle of the first. It is a kingdom principle where God is first. He is chief in our life. He is the most valuable thing. We heard that testimony of the sister. She said she does not have words. It is the greatest accomplishment. Do you understand? When someone is living 30 plus years, have multiple children, and can stand and is pregnant with one more, and is saying that the best thing that happened to her is Jesus. The best thing that happened to her is getting into a relationship with Almighty God. It's not the car she sits in. It's not the husband she got. It's not the house that she, because the Bible says everything will pass away, but God is forever. I want to encourage you today, Faith Church, hinge your life on Christ. He is the solid foundation. He is the rock of ages. Kingdoms will come. Kingdoms will rise. Kingdoms will fall, but God will remain forever. So principles are set up, and out of principles comes laws. Out of principles comes laws. Like there's a principle that life is valuable, right? Life is valuable. So out of that principle, and life comes from God. So you cannot give life, so you shouldn't take life. So hence the laws came about, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder anyone. Thou shalt not abuse each other. You shall not take advantage. The Bible says, let brotherly love prevail. Out of all, those are all laws that we live by. We should not mistreat each other. The Bible says, be kind. We're commanded to be kind. It is not optional. I have to be kind. Amen. Jesus said, do good to even those who hate you. Imagine if we all wait for the people on the street to love us, we'll never evangelize. Come on now. I'm feeling hot. Anybody hot in here? Thank you. Yeah. Imagine wearing three layers and being on the inside. I don't feel like sweating today. My makeup is going to run. Yeah. No, I don't wear makeup for all of you who are new. Right? So, the principles govern life. Life is governed by principle. Sowing and reaping is a principle. Once you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the spirit, you reap life. But if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. So those are principles, and there will be, the Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there will be sowing and there will be reaping. The fact that we can go to the store and buy vegetables, somebody sow something. So they can reap. Amen? So that's the principle we're talking about. So the principle of the first is the Lord says, I am the first because I created everything. John 1 says, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Today we see the culture is obsessed with the planet. Can I tell you that's from the devil? Being more obsessed with Mother Earth than Father God. We're more obsessed with the creation more than the creator. Everybody's worrying about your carbon footprint. What about your blood footprint? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you sanctified? Are you living a holy life? Are you putting God in his place as being first? Or are you just concerned about getting up in the morning, going out to work? Make sure you're calculating your money and you're worried about all the bills you got to pay. No, the Bible says that he didn't worry about those things. But we are children of God that has been bought with a price, not corruptible things. If money was going to save us, I wouldn't stand here. Because there's a little song that says, if salvation was a thing that money could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. But today we are bought by the love of God. It was Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but they will have everlasting life. So, God is first. God is priority. God should be above all else. He should be reverenced. He should be feared. We should keep God in his place. So I want to encourage you in 2024, put God first. Tell somebody, I will put God first. I will put God. There is power in your declaration. The Bible says you shall eat the fruit of your lips. So when you declare something, you're putting it in the atmosphere. You're putting it in your mind. You're telling your mind, listen to me, mind. You don't want to put God first. I know it. Because I got a mind. My mind don't want to come to church always. My mind don't want to pray for us always. But what we got to do? Renew the mind. What are we going to do? Renew the mind. So everything in you, in your body, in your spirit, in your mind, that fights against God is from the flesh, and it needs to be renewed with the word of God. You need to tell it. Jesus says, I am the first and the last. God requires total surrender. Oh, that's a little too much. That's a little too much. Let's look at the word. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Point blank. I could put down the mic and we pray and go home right here, but I just feel like preaching more. No one can serve two masters. You will either love one, he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you got to make up your mind. In the Old Testament, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. If God is God, then serve him. You know what God means? He is number one. If he is God to you, then serve him as if he is God. Sometimes we treat God so passive. And we treat him casual. And we take him lightly. And we take the things of God as common. We put no priority to our Christian walk. We put priority to how we look. We put priority to the clothes we wear. We make sure our eyebrows are done. We make sure hair is cut, which I didn't do. My barber is busy. I can't get in. But we make sure we look good. Right? Yeah, we make sure we look good. We put priority. We put priority in our children. Sometimes we have excuses. Why you didn't come to church? Oh, my kids had homework. I got four kids and all of them are A students. One is graduating a year ahead of time. She's going to college this year. She was supposed to go next year. Guess what she did? She put God first. Her average is over 100. Did you hear what I just said? What did she put God?
First.
All four of my kids fast. Oh, you weird. You're right. And we're going to keep it that way. Because God is first. He is our priority. The bread that I have, he give it to me. The joy that I have, he give it to me. The peace I have, he give it to me. The authority I have, he give it to me. The body that I have is his. So you can't get two wives. Let's put it down this way now. You can't get two wives. I can prove it to you from the Bible. Jacob had two wives. But he tolerated Leah, but he loved Rachel. Hello? So how can you have two gods? You're going to either love God or you're going to love the other. How can we prove that again? Remember the young rich ruler? Jesus said, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. The Bible said he went away sad. Because the money was nice. The money gave him influence. The money bought him a place at the gate of the city. The money in today's day buys you a vacation. The money buys you nice clothes. The money buys you a house. I like it. But it is not God. Too many of our young people today measure ourselves based on what is in our bank accounts. Kids don't want to even get married because they're chasing dollars. And then they get old and they get kids and they don't got no energy for the kids. They don't got no time with the kids. I want to tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says, a man shall leave his mother and be cleaved to his wife, and the two shall become one. There has to be priority. Stop telling your kids all you want them to do is get education and get rich. When you don't got no grandkids, you're going to be crying. Ask all the grandparents in the house. I heard one man said, grandkids is the reward of not killing your kids. Because the hell kids put you through, you just want to kill them sometime. And all the parents say?
Yeah.
The honest parents say?
Yeah.
It's true. So you can't serve two masters. Some people are just holy. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Before that, the word of God said, take no thought of what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. For your Father in heaven, you're who?
Father.
You're who?
Father.
You're who?
Father.
Come on, tell somebody, I got a Father. Tell somebody, I got a Father. And he's a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Your Father know that you have need for these things. So don't seek the things and forget about daddy. All the fathers that are sitting in here, imagine you have a child, and the child wakes up in the morning, the child don't say, hello, daddy. The child goes downstairs into the fridge, eat the food you bought, eat the breakfast you bought, eat the yogurt you bought, rather drink the milk you bought, walks out the house, then comes back for lunch, and don't check in, but go eat again and go back out again, hang out with friends, come back home looking for dinner now. Looking for dinner. And if the dinner is not good, you got complaints. What kind of food is this? Who cooked this food? Who bought this food? I had a brother like that, you know, I still have him. When my mom would cook fish, he would get angry. Nobody wants fish. You're always cooking fish. But if you meet him today, he eats fish more than anything. Every time I call him, he's cooking catfish. But yes, we're ungrateful. You don't tell the Father, I love you, Daddy. Good morning, Daddy. You're seeking the things first, but you forget who bring you into the world. It is the same principle with God. He is our Father. We ought to seek Him first. And He says what? All these things. What are all these things? What you shall wear, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. For the heathen worry about these things, or the Gentiles. We are the spiritual Israel of God. We need not worry about what we're going to eat. Because if He could feed the ravens, and He can clothe the dove, and He can clothe the flowers, that He said, not even Solomon in all of his glory look as fine as one of these. How much more would He not take care of you, His children? His what? So now, even if you have an ungrateful son, you can still let him eat the food. You might say sometime, boy, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? But still you're going to make sure you eat. Any parents in here? Yeah. No matter you have the worst child, you're going to still make sure he's clothed? Because guess what? There's an affection way down deep inside. And how much greater is the love of God to us? If we, the Bible says, if we as sinners know to give good gifts, how much more would our Heavenly Father not give to us? So I want to tell you, church, put God first. 2023 is a first for me. God is going to remain my priority from January to December, and come again in 24. I'm doing it all over again. Yes, and just in case you forget, this sermon will be online. Go and listen to it again and encourage yourself to keep God first. But Jesus gave us some instructions. He says, seek first the kingdom. The word seek is an active word. You can't just get saved and say, no, I'm seeking. No, seeking means to search for, to seek after, to desire. So we're moving from the first, we establish the fact that God is what? But what are we going to do now? We're seeking Him now. We're getting into the seeking part. You know, we say you got to pray, you got to read your word, you got to sing, you got to fellowship. All of that is part of seeking God. Extended time in prayer. We're fasting for 21 days. What are we doing, sir? We are seeking God. Ma'am, we are seeking God. We're stepping aside our food and we're saying, God, you put these plans in my heart. You put these dreams in my heart. You put these desires in my heart. I'm coming to you with them. I'm putting everything aside and I'm coming after you first. It's not once, but it is ongoing. It calls for endurance. You have to consistently seek the Lord. Yesterday, in our devotion, we spoke about diligence. Did anyone read that yesterday? Diligence. Go to the church app and open the daily devotional. We're sending out a daily devotional. Let me see all those who have the church app in your phone. All right. For all of you who don't, even Mom X have the church app. Look at that. Give the Lord a hand for her. Mom X is sending me texts. I'm like, what is this? She went from zero to hero. Concerning technology. All right. So Jeremiah 29, how do we seek the Lord? It says, Jeremiah 29, 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with some of your heart. No, you got to seek him with all your heart. You see, God don't play second fiddle. God is not a third wheel. God is not a sweet woman. God is not no sweet man. Or a mister or a mistress. For if you're from America. He ain't nobody's mister or mistress where you have him on the side. No, he has to be first. He said, if you want to find me, you got to seek me with all your heart. You got to have a fire in your spirit. Because when I went to the cross, I was fired up concerning your redemption. So when you're going to praise me, you got to praise me with your all. When you're going to worship me, you're going to worship me with your all. When you're going to sing to me with your all. I don't want no halfway praise. And it's time for us to quit it. I observe some of you, when you come to church, you're giving God some little praise like, maybe, maybe you are God alone, maybe. We need to step out, man, and say, you are God alone. Can we practice? 1, 2, 3. You are God alone. All right, everybody didn't catch that. We're going to catch it. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. You are God alone. I'm still waiting on some folks. You got to push your hand up. 1, 2, 3. You are God alone. All right, for most of the majority, God, the majority wins. Yes. We got to have a fire when we see God. We got to go after him with zeal and passion. Because when God shows up for you, he shows up in a strong way. He shows up in a mighty way with an outstretched arm. His ears are not too heavy, nor is, oh God, his hands are not too short. He will reach down and he will touch you when we go after him with all our heart. James tells us, oh my God, draw near to God. And this church knows word. And he will draw near to you. Because Jesus already paid the price for your sin. You know what Jesus said? It is finished. It is finished. Finito. See, my brother raised his head. He understands Spanish. When I say finito, he went like this. It's like I said, come get some money. Dinero. Yeah. It is finished. Nothing else has to be done. Nothing else has to be done. So for all of us that's waiting for God to save me, no. He said, oh God, if you would believe, you would believe. Me, believe with my heart. Confess with my mouth, Jesus, and believe that God raised him from the dead. I shall be saved. There is nothing that Jesus can do. Because it is finished. It is now for you to walk into the kingdom. It says, seek first what? The kingdom. So we're coming into a kingdom. Do you know every kingdom has a lifestyle? Every kingdom is governed by laws. Every kingdom has a language. So when you come to church and you hear the people speaking, what you think is mumble jumble, say, Lord, teach it to me. Every kingdom has a king. Jesus is our king. He is king of all kings. He is Lord of all lords. Every kingdom has an agenda. The Bible says it is God's will that none should perish, but all should come what? To repentance. And every kingdom also has an end. But this kingdom has no end. Every kingdom has an end. But this kingdom, his throne, oh God, will last forever and forever. So we're going to seek God with all our hearts. Seek his kingdom. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to find the treasures in the kingdom. You see, I must seek. And how do you see God? You get up every day. You start with prayer. You start with the word. You put on some good gospel music and you dance in your house. Put on some worship song and you worship in your house. Don't wait for Sunday. Sunday is kind of boring. The real thing happens all week long. Why do you think I could jump, dance, and praise God like this? I don't wait for Sunday. I don't need nobody to praise God. I was up at 3 a.m. this morning praising God. I was praying, praising God, worshiping God for all his goodness. I don't need nobody. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King, I don't need nobody else. Gotta get that little black dung in your soul, you know what I'm saying? Some of you black, but you're not even black, you're white. You're more white than White.
I don't want to be stush. Proper. Yeah. I want to be bougie. I don't deal with those stuff. I don't eat that kind of food. I'm better than y'all.
Watch that spirit. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride. Pride. We feel we're better than people. No, man. It's blood running in everybody's veins. Oh, some of the greatest favorite people of God are the simple people in the world. Because he said he take the high things and bring them to naught, but he elevates the meek. Oh, see God first. When you see God, when God is first, it shows you're humble. You're humble when God is first. So we're seeking the kingdom first. Romans, let's look at some things that are in the kingdom. Some benefits of seeking God first, putting God first, and seeking his kingdom first. Benefits time. Tell somebody it's benefit time. Every kingdom has benefits. America got benefits. Yeah, we all know if you pay Social Security, when you retire, you're going to get a check monthly. May not be a lot, but you're going to get something still. Hello? Hello? Are you grateful? Yeah. If you don't want it, send it to Pastor Sam. So are you grateful now?
Yes.
That's right. When you're grateful, God adds more to you. And he multiplies what you have. Gratitude. The first devotional was what? Gratitude. On Tuesday. Nobody read it. It's okay. It's cool. One day somebody's going to read my stuff all over the world. It's just time. Benefits. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Sometimes we get tied up with that. I don't eat this, I don't eat that. I don't drink this, I don't drink that. It's not about food. The kingdom of God is not about food. For all, listen, let me tell you guys, I eat pork. Let me see all those who love pork. Put your hands down, put your hands down. It is so bad. Right? God don't really care about those stuff. Let me see who eats shell food. You guys love City Island. Look at you guys. City Island all over your face. Yeah. It's not about food. Jesus came and he did away with all the prior things. Let's go. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Romans 14, 17. Write these scriptures down. And I think we're going to start putting notes in the app so you could go back and look at your scriptures and meditate. Amen? Tell somebody we're growing. 2023, we're growing. It is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness. What is it? We're going to get to righteousness because sometimes when we hear righteousness, we go like, oh God, I'm not righteous. I can't make it. I'm out of the church already. Can I tell you I would have been out of the church too? Breaking news. Righteousness and peace. Somebody say peace. And joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's go to righteousness. This righteousness is not your righteousness. This righteousness is not your doing. This righteousness is not you being a goody two shoe. You know, you got some good kids and you got some bad kids. Everybody like the good kids. But some of you are just crazy. You like them bad kids. Some of you ladies like bad boys. Nobody said amen. Okay, you guys got saved. Everybody's looking for a good man. You're like, I want a bad, hard, tough guy. Hard. Yeah, but this righteousness is of Christ. This is the righteousness that God gives to us when we get saved. He imputes his righteousness to us. When you get saved, God washes away your sin. Imagine God washes away your sin and left you. You'd have been sinning even more. But he washed your sin away, and he didn't leave you in a vacuum. He imputed his righteousness to you. He gave you his righteousness. So now when you're seeking, you're not seeking your own good. Oh, I prayed today. I read my Bible today. I give to somebody today. I took care of my family today. No, I did some kind of charity today. No, that's works. Righteousness doesn't come from works. Righteousness comes from Jesus. Righteousness comes from Jesus. Amen? Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Ooh. And it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, who have what? Who have what?
Obtained.
Who have what?
Obtained.
To obtain mean you can just go and pick it up. You have received, right? For those who have obtained means those who have received like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Where did you get the righteousness from? And this is the one scripture. If someone ever asks you if Jesus is God, you take them to this scripture right here.
Yeah.
This is clear testimony that he is God. Our God and Savior. He is God and Savior. He is God and Savior. And if they doubt you, tell them, okay, cool, no problem. It's all right. It's all right. I can't convince you, but you can't make me doubt it. I know who I've met. I know the encounter that I've had. I've experienced his glory. I've experienced his power. I receive his saving grace. And if you didn't know, I'm righteous. Oh, really? Yes, I'm righteous. Can somebody tell somebody I'm righteous? Now, if you're not saved, don't say you're righteous. Once you receive Jesus in your heart and you surrender to him and he is first, you are?
Righteous.
What are you?
Righteous.
So we got the righteousness from God. The righteousness is from Christ. It is not from our works. Because if it's from our works, guess what we're going to do? Boast. It's like you have your resume, you know, you go for a job. And you put a lot of lies there and you say, I had all these jobs. I didn't. No, I'm just kidding. You guys have real resumes, right? Yeah. You have your resume. You went to school. You say, I went to school. I studied. I did this. I did this. I had this job. But then there's one position you never had and you put it as you had it. Yeah. Right? Oh, you guys never went for jobs. So I know what you. I love you guys. You guys are so holy. And God bless you guys. Keep it that way. Somebody give the Lord a hand for faith, church. We got some people of integrity in the house. Let's keep it that way. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. Because surely your sins will find you out. So righteousness is from the Lord. Are we clear on that?
Yeah.
So when you're seeking and you ask God for righteousness, you're not saying, God, help me to be righteous. You say, God, help me to receive your righteousness. And because you receive that righteousness now, there is something deposited way down inside of you that you will now begin to line up. Because the Spirit of God works with the righteousness that has been given to you and multiplies it. So you can then go forth and bring forth fruit. Do you get that? Did you get that? Did I go too fast? Amen. Go back and listen to the tape. Amen. The next one is peace. And this word is shalom. Total well-being. Total well-being. Somebody said peace is a benefit. And let's back up. Righteousness is a benefit. Peace is a
benefit.
Amen. Total well-being. It says completeness, soundness, your welfare, is everything is good. You have eternal stability because he said the peace I give to you is not like the world. The peace of the world is temporary. It's just a temporary fix and it's what we know as a high. You feel good, but then right after you fall back on your face. This peace is mighty God for now and it is for the future. So you meet friends who are Christians or your friends may come to you and they ask you a question. How come you're so calm? Look what's going on in the world. How come you're so cool? It's because you have the peace of God. And the Bible says the peace of God passes all understanding. Now, you're like, Pastor, when are you going to talk about the money? When are you going to talk about the car? Come back next week. We ain't talking about that today. We're talking about benefits of that kingdom. Things that you need more than things. Benefits that you need rather more than things. Because if you got peace, you can able to go to work and make an income. If you got peace, you're able to communicate with people and not be worried about their behavior and their patterns and whatever they're going on with. It doesn't bother you because you got peace. Whatever is going on around you, you're still walking too strong. 1,000 may fall on my side and 10,000 on the other side, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling because I am at peace. Eternal confidence that God will work it out. He will work it out. Peace. The next one is joy in the Holy Spirit or joy in the Holy Ghost. And this word is kara. Now that's Greek, right? Kara. The first shalom was Hebrew. Now it's kara, which is Greek. And this means to find delight. And I was, last night I was there for a long time, trying to understand joy. I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, give me a revelation of joy in the Holy Ghost. Give me a revelation of joy in the Holy Ghost. Give me a revelation of joy in the Holy Ghost. Give me a revelation of joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to understand what it means to have joy in the Holy Ghost, God. What does this mean? Is this an expression? Is this something? What is it? Because if I talk about joy, it kind of sounds like peace. And then the Lord said, one of the benefits of the kingdom is that you find delight in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Ghost or Spirit. Your delight is the fact or the based on who is on the inside. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. One of the benefits of being a child of God and living in this kingdom is you finding joy from the Holy Spirit. You finding delight. You know what delight is? Every time I see Sister Abby, I take great delight because she makes me happy. She's been my sister since I was like 8 years old. All of you guys came and meet me now. She's been carrying me around since I was a little kid. So every time I see her, I'm so excited. What do? I find delight in her. She's my sister. She brings me joy. There's some people, you know, you meet them and you don't really feel that way. But you love them. Why are you guys making those kind of laughs in the church? But it's true. Don't lie. But that is how we should be with the Holy Spirit when we consider the Holy Ghost. When we consider who lives on the inside of us. Our souls are stirred with life. Yes. And there's an expression that you can't fully, there's a feeling rather you can't really express. Because the Holy Spirit, He's God. He's your friend. He's your guide. He's your teacher. He's the one that leads you. He is your helper. So if you need help, Holy Ghost, yeah. I need help. Yeah. If you're going through a tough situation and you need wisdom, the Bible says if any among you need wisdom, let him ask. Ask, Holy Ghost, give me revelation. I need to understand you are not alone. Yeah. He is constantly with you. Rejoice means to find joy, mean you are constantly rejoicing. You're constantly celebrating and finding joy, finding happiness, finding contentment in the fact that the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. These streets we navigate, we all wish we have security guards walking around with us. So you don't even have to look over your shoulder. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I will be with you to the end. You have our angels all around you. The Holy Ghost is with you. He is guiding you. He's leading you. He will lead you in and out. He is constantly at work in the believer. So rejoice in your companionship. Have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the Robandarabashata. I told you the kingdom's got a language. That's the language. A heavenly language. Because of who lives inside of us? Who is bubbling inside of us? Ooh, supernatural things will happen because of who is on the inside. Then the word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is time for us to have a perspective of Satan. He is defeated. He is defeated. Tell him go rob somewhere else. You're not robbing here. Tell him go kill somewhere else. You ain't killing here. Go steal somewhere else. You ain't stealing here. Because you're defeated. Because if the greater, don't sleep on me, church. If the greater is on the inside. We all went to school, we know greater than and less than. Hello? Right, right. I don't know very much. You put one of those in front of me, I probably can't solve it, but I know the thing look like this and it look like this. And if it's one way, it's more than, and if it's the other way. So when you consider the devil, he is the less than. Because the greater than is on the inside of me. He's not just hanging around somewhere. The Holy Ghost is not in the atmosphere, you know. No. The Holy Ghost is not like Casper the Ghost. Ooh, ooh. No. He lives in the believer. He lives in the believer. He lives in the believer. Or else the whole world will grieve him. No, only the saints can grieve the Holy Ghost. Only the saints can quench the Holy Ghost. When the world sins, they do that. It is finished. They got to come into grace, choose to come or not. But guess what? They can't grieve the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is only grieved by us, the believer. So when we walk around without joy, without peace, without right understanding that we are righteous, we are grieving God when he already paid the price and he finished the work. So, this is our legitimate first Sunday because last week we didn't have no church. It is time for us to put God first. This year, seek the kingdom first. Seek God's righteousness first. Seek his peace first. Seek the Holy Spirit first. And what's going to happen? What's the result? All these things. Come on. Oh, this is where the church is supposed to shout. All these things, no, I'm just kidding. All these things will be added unto you. And I got one more scripture I want to share with you. You're a permanent citizen in the kingdom. I'll say it again. You're a permanent citizen in the kingdom. You know, I am a citizen of America, but if I misbehave, they could revoke it. Yeah. They can revoke it and deport me back to Guyana. Put me on the first flight out with chains on my hand and my foot. And Guyanese people are not easy. When they walk in that plane, they're going to look at you like, ha, 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 you can deport it. And you know, deportees are miserable for the most part. It's hard for them to assimilate back into their society because they were out of it for so long. And then you're now a spectacle in the community. But it's not that way in this kingdom. It is not that way. Even if they deport you, you're still in the kingdom of God. And because you're a citizen, you got the Holy Ghost on the inside. He will lead you. He will help you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will protect you. You find joy in him. You find hope in him. You find peace in him. You get courage from him. You will live a great life no matter where you are. Romans 8:38 says, for I am convinced that neither death, when we hear about death, it's like the ultimate, oh God, it's over. You know, we went to a funeral a couple weeks ago, myself, Sister Nikki was there, and we were saying, imagine if you were conscious in that box. Somebody locked you in a box and you know you're in there. And plus they throw dirt on top of you. They close it, number one, but then they throw dirt on it. And then that big excavator comes and press it down. And you know you're in there. But praise be to Jesus, who gives us the victory over death. That when we die, the Bible says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Woo! So you're not going to be in the box, just in case you were wondering. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present. Oh, hold on, let's go. Angels nor principalities. Neither the present nor the future nor any powers. So don't matter what the enemy tries to do to you. Tell somebody, don't matter what the enemy tries to do to you. It don't matter what people try to do to you. It don't matter what your mama did to you. Tell them, it don't matter if your daddy don't give you nothing. It don't matter if your wife leaves you. It don't matter if your husband abandoned you. It don't matter if your kids curse you. It doesn't matter. No powers. No powers. Oh, no matter what the IRS tried to do to you. Pay your taxes and stop saying amen. Everybody rebuking the IRS. But when you get your refund, you're like, I love the IRS. Make sure you pay your tithes. Neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation. Sometimes you feel spooked out when you go into a lonely place. You think someone's lurking behind the bush and you hear the owl go, ooh. You get scared. Anyone ever heard an owl at night? Yeah, I used to be afraid. At night the owl is in the coconut tree and the owl go, woo-hoo. I'm like, whoa, what's that? Because they told us that Jumbie Man is out there, what we call Doppy. I used to be so afraid. But I never knew this word. I didn't know this word. Nothing in all creation. Not anything else. So if he missed out anything, he's saying not anything else that was created will be able to separate us from the love. Ooh, so sweet. Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somebody take it home with a praise today. Nothing will be able, come on musicians, will be able to separate us from the love of God. I am kept. I am preserved. I am held. I am, oh my God, I am secure in his love. So even if all of hell. All right, those guys are not that cute. I'm cuter. Look at me. You see why you guys got to stay up here? Because you're distracting all the good people from looking at me. Rather hearing what I have to say. Yeah. So, or we got to get, like, you guys hang out in the back and walk up nicely. No, then you guys going to play on your phones in the back. Laugh. It's okay. I'm just kidding. Yeah, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. So what are we talking about? What are we going to do this year? We're going to put God
first.
What are we going to put him?
First.
So I'm going to see more people in prayer meeting on Tuesday. Because God is
first.
Church got quiet. I'm going to see more people in prayer meeting on Tuesday. Because God is first. Breakthrough service. I'm going to see your breakthrough service because God is. And breakthrough service is the first Friday of the month. Give God your first Friday. Why do you think we come to church on a Sunday? Because it is the first day of the week. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. So since then, we started to come to church on the first day. Now, if you go on Saturday, it is totally fine. Can I say that? Because religion will tell us we got to go on Saturday. Can I tell you, religion does nothing for us. Revelation does everything for us. Religion does nothing for us, but revelation does everything. If you don't have the revelation that you're the righteousness of God and you're stuck in religion, that you have to try to be righteous. I have to try to please God when God has given you the empowerment to please him. That's revelation. You understand. You have clarity on who you are, that you're a child of God. You're not working to attain the goodness of God. No, you're living in the goodness of God. You're not looking to be blessed. No, I am blessed. You're not looking for favor. I am favored. You're not looking for healing. I am the healed of the Lord. So leave religion and let's go after God with a zeal and a passion. So what we're doing, we're putting God and we're seeking his kingdom. How? Benefits. First, what are some? The first one is righteousness. Next. Come on, you got to carry something home in your bag today. The first one is what? Second is? The third is? In the? No, it's not just joy. Joy is a whole different thing. I'm talking about joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what will carry you through your week. Joy with who is on the inside. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.